Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich and Christ. Been a really different week this week. My wife and I were iced in here in Texas, where we live, outside of Fort Worth. For the last 5 days, we had a major ice storm come through here. And we've been dealing with that all week. And if you're listening to this program and you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, you're at the right place today. Because this show is not like anything you've probably ever listened to as far as Christian media. Because what I talk about and what I share is the real life stuff that believers deal with every day. I mean, we are in a situation right now, economy-wise, where people are losing their homes. They don't know what they're going to do. I myself, I've got such a different history as far as dealing with the issues of life. The Bible talks about the issues of life. And God has taken me through, it's an amazing journey. It's been a journey of a lot of pain and loss. And yet God has decided that's the way he's going to, that's the vehicle he's going to use to take us from trusting in what we see to trusting in what we don't see. The Bible calls Jesus the invisible image of God. And most Christians today don't understand that the walk of faith is not the walk of our faith. It's the walk of his faith in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And there's a difference between the faith of God and the faith and faith in God. Faith in God assumes there's some kind of an effort on our part. If we have enough faith, God will show up. And so what we do is we strive to try to have faith, which is an impossibility because humans don't have any faith. We have what's called presumption or wishful thinking at the very best, because we were never meant to have faith. There's only one faith, one hope, one church, one baptism, one Lord of all. And it's not self-powered. We're the containers of God. That's why Jesus refers to us as the branch, the temple, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what's the temple for? The temple is not to look at the outward adornment of the temple. It's not about what's inside of the temple as far as the furniture. The temple is the place where God dwells. And I love the passage. It's a passage back in one of the they call them the minor prophets. I don't know why they do that, because there's nothing minor about any of them. But they call it the minor prophets. I think it might be the book of Hosea or Haggai. I'm not sure which one. And the young men are rejoicing because the temple has been rebuilt. But it doesn't look like the temple of inlaid gold and ivory and marble. It just looks like a wooden shed. And the old men are weeping over it because it doesn't have the appearance of the ornate temple. And the reason the old men are weeping is because they're focusing on the outside of the temple. And the young men are just rejoicing because God has a place to dwell. Because in the Old Testament, that's what the whole purpose of the tabernacle was, is that God had a place to dwell. And now He tabernacles inside of us. We're now that temple. And the only thing I ever heard about the temple of the Holy Spirit when I was still involved in institutional Christianity was about cleaning, keeping the temple clean, keeping the temple healthy, you know, not to smoke, not to drink, not to chew, you know. But that's not the purpose of the temple at all. That's not the focus of the temple as far as when God is concerned. So in the branch, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Well, what does that mean? You strive to abide in Christ? No, you abide in Christ because he's the vine that holds us. We rest in the vine. There's nothing that the branch can do but rest in the vine. You'll never see a branch striving to rest in a tree trunk. It just rests. And so we have been so duped by performance-based religious teachers. And it doesn't matter what denomination it is. It doesn't matter what flag's flying outside of the door of the church. Every one of them believed the same thing. It's second-level teaching. It's Jesus came to die on the cross, and if you strive hard enough and you're good enough, then he's going to go to, then he, somehow the Holy Spirit is going to go to work for you and bless your plans of life. And that's really what we call normal Christianity in our day and age. When the truth is, when Christ died on the cross, he took all of humanity with him. When Jesus died, I died in him. When he was buried, I was buried in him. When he rose up, I rose up with him in newness of life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, well, every man is in Christ. It's just that every man doesn't know they're in Christ. Most people see themselves outside of Christ. Most people think that he's the distant, impersonal, and punishing, grandfatherly-looking God that sits on a throne in heaven. But Deuteronomy 30, which is Old Testament, by the way, beginning in verse 11, says that the Word is not in heaven. We have to go chasing after him. Okay? And the Word is Jesus Christ, not the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In John 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. That's the Word. So in Deuteronomy it says, you don't have to chasing after the Word. The Word is right here. He's in your heart and he's in your mouth. And I've been thinking a lot this week about the religious hierarchy and how it operates. And how there's one leader and there's one group of leaders underneath this leader. And they pull all the strings and they make all the rules. I had somebody contact me yesterday and say to me, you know, we couldn't bring the word of the Lord forth unless it was authorized by the pastor. What the heck is that? There's no honor among men with God. He's no respecter of people. And in fact, God chooses the lowly and the base and the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. And one of the things God has nullified through his Son is performance-based religion. Jesus came to the earth as the form of a human man to show us the Father. It was time for Jesus to show up and say, look at everything you thought the Father was, he isn't. Look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's who the Father is. Father isn't somebody that we have to walk around and be afraid of and wonder if we're performing right for him to work in our life. He created us. He loves us exactly as we are. He couldn't love us anymore. And it's taken me 33 years to come to this place of knowing that God really does love me exactly the way I am. I knew God loved me for many years, many, many years. It was about somewhere around seven years ago that I finally discovered that God liked me. And that might not make any sense to people, but I know it does to some. Because, you know, we think with our view of God is that God is supposed to love us because he's God. So we don't question the love of God. But, you know, you have a relationship and you have friendships with people who like you and who you like. So when I discovered God liked me and that he put me in a spacious place where I could be the righteous man who falls seven times and rises again, and I wrote an article on this last week, and that seven-time fall is not a bad thing. That's a complete fall. Seven is the number of perfection. And the article was titled The Perfect Fall. And when we fall that perfect last, that seventh last time, the only way that we rise up again, that's the eighth time, by the way, we rise up is by God. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Eight is the number of covenant. When they made the covenant, when Abraham or David and Jonathan made the covenant with one another, they cut an animal up. And they cut it up and they quartered it. I used to deer hunt in Minnesota, and you'd hang up the when you'd shoot the deer, you'd have to gut it right away because it preserved the meat. Otherwise, the meat could go bad. And you had to open it up and you had to pull everything out of it. And then you brought it home, you hung it up, and then you quartered it. You skun it and you quartered it. And they quartered the animal, and they put the pieces out, and they walked in the form of a figure eight, reciting the covenant promises, blessings, and curses. And that's what they did. And the whole covenant love ceremony was about an exchange. And it says David and Jonathan loved each other like a husband loves his wife, and vice versa. They had that kind of love. And so they covenanted, and Jonathan's assets became David's, and Jonathan's liabilities became David's, and Jonathan's enemies became David's. And that covenant was so serious between them, and David and Jonathan loved David so much that what happened is Jonathan's own father, Saul, became his arch enemy because that was David's enemy. That's what covenant love is about. That's what Christian love is about. So they'd open up the animal. And in Hebrews it says everything is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. Everything. Think about that. And if everything is open and laid bare, then whatever we're hiding is out in the open. Whatever we think God doesn't know, he knows. That used to terrify me when I was hiding. Because before I knew this verse that I'm about to share with you here in a few minutes that has completely transformed my life, before I knew that, before I knew I was okay exactly as I am, as weak as I am, and as much as I fail, and as much as I struggle, and all of my imperfections, and all of the things that I look at my life and I say, what a complete failure. And until I was able to take that to God and lay it down and say, Lord, this is who I am, exactly as I am. But I can't do anything to change my life, God. And that open and laid bare thing used to scare me. I used to walk around with my fig leaf and pretend I was somebody I wasn't. And now that open and laid bare verse in Hebrews is an invitation from God, a loving Father who says, Rich, you're holding on to something that's hurting you. And open yourself up. Lay it down right here, right now. at a time when I was estranged from my children and my ex-wife was poisoning them and saying things to them about me that wasn't true for many years. And it's still going on today, really. But they don't believe it anymore. I woke up one day in my bed. This is right after Linda, my wife Linda, and I were married. And I woke up in a panic attack. And I screamed out, "My kids!" Because my ex-wife had just recently, just not long before that, married a alcoholic, manipulating, lying, crack addict, drunken pig. Want me to tell you what I really thought about him? My kids were living under the same roof as this guy. And I didn't know what was going on with this guy. I didn't know what was going on as far as my kids. And you guys, you've heard stories of stuff like that. And I was going day after day, and it was driving me crazy. One day I woke up and I said, "My kids!" I screamed it out. And God, right then, he gave me three words that he'd been working into my life for the last 25 years: release, rest, and receive. He said, "You release those kids." Whose kids, Rich? Whose kids? Aren't we walking in covenant love? Aren't your kids now my kids? Aren't your debts my debts? And aren't all of my assets yours? So whose kids are those, Rich? He said, "You release them to me right now." And so God gave me three words. Release is the first word. Whatever you're holding on to today, no matter what it is, no matter what lies you've been listening to, like my friend Heidi Marshall from the UK, you need to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. Who wrote me yesterday when I was down. I've been down. I've been despondent about what's happening with this ministry. Linda and I live one day at a time. Our house is falling apart underneath us. We don't know what we're going to do from day to day as far as income, but we trust God every single day in fear and trembling. We're human beings, just like any other human being. We deal with humanity. And this sweet lady from the UK writes to me the other day, and she's having a hard time, and I said, "You said, I want to start reading your book, Rich, but there's something that's keeping me from it." Well, I said, "Heidi, just read the first chapter. Just read the first chapter." And I said, "Get back to me." And guys, I wasn't walking in a good place when I said that, but you know what? My covenant-keeping God loves me and works in and through me no matter what mood I'm in or no matter what I'm feeling. Because he is never going to abandon me. He's going to always love me exactly the way I am. That's what the people of God need to know today more than anything, is that their God is not going to abandon them like everybody else has. Their God is not going to leave or forsake them. There is no separation between us. He's in our heart and he's in our mouth. And I just said, read the first day of the book. And she came back and she said, "Oh, Rich, I'm on the third day, and I just read your story about how you suffered with your physical illness and almost died." And she said, "I've wanted to die." And she goes, "I was ready to kill myself before I picked up your book." And she goes, "Now my 15-year-old daughter has a mom." And that's all glory to God. All the glory goes to him because of all the pain and suffering and trials and all of the stuff that I've gone through in my life. I was able to share that with Heidi in that book. And then I shared with her, and I said, "You know, Heidi, I'm not having a hard, easy time right now either. And I consider myself a mature believer. I consider myself walking in the revelation, the daily revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't get my stuff from somebody else. I get it from him who loves me, him who loves me and gave himself for me. And I get it from the Spirit, and I write it as I get it." I deal with all of the things that human people deal with. And, you know, that's my gripe against Christian leadership today, is I'm challenging anybody out there who calls himself a leader. You are that carcass that God wants to open up. He wants to cut you wide open and open you up, and not just to you, but to every single person you're ministering to. And if you're not willing, then you're not a leader. Because how are these people going to know that they can have their carcasses opened up unless they see somebody going before them? How can they know that unless there's a pioneering man or woman of God who's willing to lay their life down, who's willing to say, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And this BS message out there about love, 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 without suffering, without the message of the cross, it's straight from hell is where it's from. Because if you eliminate the cross, you eliminate the suffering of Christ, and you count as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant, you trample underfoot the Son of God, and you insult the Spirit of grace. That's what you do when you think you can live a crossless Christianity. You think there's no suffering or pain or anything involved in your life, except that grain of wheat is planted in the ground and dies. All it's about is itself. And I see so many ministries out here that call themselves grace, and all they're about is promoting themselves. That's it. Because they're not coming out, and I don't see their carcasses opened up in what they're writing to their people. I don't see them talking about their weaknesses, their struggles, their addictions, their problems, their everyday life. Because there are no Christian supermen or women. None. Zero. Zip. And this last week, God has been taking me back to this passage of Scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. You know, that is one powerful passage. Read it. And you'll see 15 and 16 tucked away in there, and you'll coast right over the top of them because I've never once to this day ever heard of teaching. I've never heard anybody talk about it, speak about it, anything having to do with these two verses except for me. And God revealed them to me about 10 years ago. It's Philippians 3:15 and 16. And the New International Version of it says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. And the paraphrase of that is, I love you exactly where you are. I couldn't love you any more than I love you right now. And whatever maturity level you're walking in, just know right here, I am going to bring clarity to you when you need that clarity. You don't have to chase after me like all the religious people have told you. I'm in your mouth and I'm in your heart. I'm never going to leave or forsake you. I'm never going to abandon you no matter who abandons you. And I know that firsthand because when there was nobody else around, the only person that was left there to save my life was God. At a time when I was going to kill myself after my divorce, as a believing, mature Christian who'd had it with life and gone back to drinking, I knew that. And God brought me to that place when the only one that hadn't left me and abandoned me was Jesus Christ. He still lived in me. And all of my drunkenness, and all of my telling him to get out of my life, ignoring him, and living for myself, he never left. And anybody who tells you that God comes in and goes out when you're not acting right or behaving properly, he's a liar too, and don't listen to him. In fact, run from him. And that verse goes on to say, I will bring clarity to you when you need it. What does that mean? It means we don't have to run after the revelation of Christ. The revelation of Christ is going to run us down if we're open to receiving the revelation of Christ. God will make it clear. Are you losing your job today? God will make it clear. Are you losing your house? God will make it clear. Are you estranged from your children? Are you dealing with an addiction? Are you dealing with a debilitating illness or a disease? God will make it clear. But that only comes by the faith of the Son of God. This whole thing about institutional religion has to be turned on its ear, because it's a lie from start to finish. If you are not walking in Christ, and guys, look it up. I challenge you to look up every time Paul says in Christ, in him, anything having to do with the word in God, in life. It's talking about an internal, where we no longer live, it's Christ who lives in us. It's Christ who's our life. And when Christ who is our life appears, we appear with him. That's not talking about the sweet by and by after this event that everybody's waiting for called a rapture. That's talking about Jesus Christ in me right here and right now, living my life as me in my form. I'm not calling myself Jesus Christ. Remember, I'm the vessel. I'm the temple. On the branch. On the container. And you know what the container does? The container just rests until God pours into it what he chooses to pour into it. It can't do anything. The container is inanimate until the life, until what's in it is makes it usable. And Christ is in us, and we're usable right now, no matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter. I led people to Christ on the bar stool when I was rebelling against God. Think about that, because the Spirit of grace is always at work, for it's God who is at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then it goes on to say, only live up to what you've already attained. Only live up to what you've already attained. That means wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with right now, no matter if you're in poverty or you're living in a penthouse, no matter where you are in life, live your life knowing God is living his life in and through you, and he loves you exactly as you are. That passage of Scripture, Philippians 3:15 and 16, changed my life 10 years ago. It's probably the single most powerful thing that God has ever revealed to me. And you know what? It came to me most desperate when I needed to hear from God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for today. Lord, as usual, this isn't canned or planned. And Lord, I thank you, God, minister life to every one of the people that are hearing this. And I know there aren't many that listen, God, but Lord, you know who they are. You know the Heidis, Lord. You know the Joan Rileys. You know the Heidis. And you know all the people like them, God, who have been transformed by this in Christ message, who have been transformed by knowing that it's God's power perfected in their weakness and nowhere else, because the weakness is the only thing we have. Guys, I've got a book. I'm giving it away for free. My Facebook page is Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. Go there and put down your address, and I'll send you a free book. This is another episode of Real Life with Rich in Christ. Thank you, and God bless.